Looking ahead, challenges and opportunities in the changing world. Welcome to Talking Economics, a podcast by the Center for Economic Research and Graduate Education, Economics Institute. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development is an international financial institution established in 1991 to help Central and Eastern Europe transition to a market economy after the fall of communism. Today, EBRD is active in 38 countries from Central Europe to Central Asia, the Western Balkans, and the Southern and Eastern Mediterranean. How has the bank's mission changed over time, and what are its priorities now? We discussed EBRD's response on world changes with Libor Karkoška, a SRGI PhD in economics alumnus and EBRD Deputy Director, Country Strategy. Libor joined the bank in 1997, initially working in the chief economist's office and then as the head of office in Moldova, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Cyprus. Welcome, Libor.
Hello.
For the start, EBRD has been around for more than 30 years from the fall of communism. You have been with the bank practically from the start. Can you tell us very briefly about how has the mission of the bank changed? And as well as the major goals over this time.
Yes. So first of all, thank you for inviting me for this podcast and having opportunity to talk to you and to all the listeners. And as you said correctly, I'm with the EBRD, with European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, for many years, over 25 years. But in fact, I actually have a picture of myself in front of the building of EBRD from early 90s, shortly after it opened for business in April 1991, when, of course, I didn't know that I will work for EBRD, and I don't think I knew at the time that in that building, which was in the background, was EBRD. But yes, when I saw it recently, I was quite surprised and pleased that my path led me to EBRD even before I really started. And of course, EBRD was established, as you said, more than 30 years ago. And initially, it was focused relatively broadly on the support for the private sector introduction in former centrally planned economies in Central and Eastern Europe. So the initial number of countries was actually 8. And it was because it was established before Czechoslovakia became 2 countries, Czech and Slovak republics, while there was still Yugoslavia, there was still former Soviet Union. So some of the countries became member states after split of those larger federations. But of course, the focus of our activities has also changed over these 30 years from very, I would say, general focus on the support for the private sector to in the latest strategic planning to much more narrower focus on support for the green economy, on digitalization and on inclusion and helping to create equal opportunities for everybody. And that's really trying to narrow down the market failure and where the EBRD is the most needed and the most useful. And of course, it's important to keep in mind that, let's say, for green economy, the support for environment and commitment to sustainability have always been central to the EBRD activity. But more recently, our institution has fully aligned with the Paris Agreement since the last year. So all the investments which we make are fully in line with those classifications of green economy transition. And we expect that this type of investments that support directly climate change related investments would be more than 50% by the end of 2025. So that's one of the changes which is quite visible over the last, I would say, 20 years or so. EBRD was one of the very first institutions which established climate change and energy efficiency department, as it was called at the time. Now it's climate assessment and delivery, but again, it's very similar type of activities. And the other big change is our geographic focus. As I said, we have started initially working in Central and Eastern Europe, including former Soviet Union countries, which are obviously in Central Asia. But in 2009, EBRD started investing in Turkey, and following Arab Spring more than 10 years ago, EBRD started working in Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, and Tunisia in 2012, and then in Lebanon in 2017. And yes, we will probably talk about crisis, be it crisis related to war on Ukraine or crisis due to economic pandemic. But let's not forget that there was a crisis also back in 2008. And following that crisis, EBRD started also working in Cyprus during 2014-2020. And then in Greece since 2015, in both of those countries on a temporary basis. And let me just finish my answer to this, your initial question, by just saying that at the latest annual meeting of our shareholders in May 2023 in Samarkand, in Uzbekistan, it was decided that EBRD should continue expansion, gradual expansion, to sub-Saharan Africa. So in the next few years, we should see even more countries of operation. So eventually it will probably be more than 40 and approaching 50.
Excellent. Thank you. You already hinted the direction of our talk. The topic of our podcast is challenges and opportunities brought about by the changing world. And as you said, this is kind of in your DNA, right? Tackling the changes and working with the changes and challenges, I would say, that are happening in the world economies. I'd expect that you were ready, or you have a lot of experience working with the challenges. Were you prepared for the recent events, and how has the pandemic and the war in Ukraine affected your operations?
I think actually to answer this question, I could paraphrase answer of one of our clients when I was in Moldova following the 2008 financial crisis, who was asked similar question. And the answer was, but we operate almost all the time in the times of crisis. It's crisis after crisis. And if you think about my time at EBRD for more than 25 years, I have joined just after the currency crisis in 1997 in Czech Republic, followed up by Russian crisis in August 1998. Then obviously 9/11 came in early 2000s, followed shortly after by the financial crisis 2008. Then we had pandemic, most latest is war on Ukraine. So it's similarly, as I said, to what our client told me in Moldova, it's really crisis response is in our DNA as institution, but also I deal with it on a almost yearly basis, just in different countries, and crisis coming from a different source.
So were these two latest crises different in any way, or were they? Did they have any different impact on your operations?
I think that the coronavirus pandemic in 2000 was a huge challenge, and I would probably say that it was less of a challenge in terms of operational response, the type of investments and policy advice we would be providing to our clients, and more in terms of how we do business, because I don't think any of us had experience with lockdowns, with not being able to travel and meet our clients. So switching from essentially physical presence to having just virtual discussions and virtual negotiations, that I would say was very unique for the pandemic, and it did take us time to adjust. And maybe one reason why it was such a shock to our system is that EBRD is very much focused on presence on the ground. We have most of employees in the countries of operations. I have myself spent 10 years working in East European countries, as you said at the beginning, in Moldova, followed by Bosnia and Herzegovina, and then for another 4 years in Cyprus. And there is nothing that could replace this personal contact with clients, seeing the facilities which we are supporting. So that, I would say, is the biggest challenge. And of course, Russia's war on Ukraine was again very significant because it affected one of the largest countries' operations directly, Ukraine, and many other countries where EBRD is active indirectly, be it through trade linkages, through the inflow of large number of refugees, through energy prices, inflation, and food prices. So there were similar channels of instability and challenges which we have seen before, but on unprecedented scale. So that that's again something that we had to deal with quite significantly. So just maybe a response to how we dealt with the pandemic. Obviously, it was such a shock to the economic system in all the countries where we are active that we have committed all our activities in 2020 and 2021 to help and address the economic impact of that particular crisis. In case of the war on Ukraine, we have agreed to commit up to 3 billion euros over 2022-2023. That means the last 2 years to help Ukraine's businesses and economy to keep functioning. And for a country which is at war, there is a really need for innovative financial products to keep, let's say, energy being supplied to both residents and companies. So helping with emergency energy purchases to compensate for the loss of imports from Russia and Belarus, helping to keep municipal services running again in the state of war, and helping to provide livelihoods for displaced persons, be it internally or refugees in the neighboring countries. And obviously provision of liquidity to small and medium enterprises. So there were many things which EBRD needed to do, and we continue to do that. But also we are already thinking about what our institution could do to help with reconstruction, and especially post-war reconstruction once conditions allow.
Thank you for the extensive answer. It seems that you shifted all your resources to focus recently on Ukraine. So what about your other operations? Were they affected by this change? So are you decreasing your involvement in other countries? Or
I would say absolutely not. So yes, all activities or most of the activities were affected by the war on Ukraine. But in terms of investments, we are keeping the investments in other countries at a similar level, or actually last year in many countries we had record investments and that activity has not stopped. But the focus on where we invest and how our financing is utilized has changed. So I would say it's rather the focus of investing than the amounts which are allocated to different countries.
Speaking about the focus, your topic is renewable energy and green green economy.
Let me maybe just say that they are three key areas or strategic priorities for EBRD. So obviously one of them is green energy, and that goes from, let's say, support for innovative capital market instruments, green bonds. It's the green financing facilities with local banks, for be it residents, municipalities, smaller municipalities, or smaller and medium-sized enterprises. It's work with cities under our Green Cities program to replace, let's say, old polluting urban transport with green buses or other means of green transport. It's also a lot of investments in renewables and related transmission and distribution networks. So that's one big area. But equally, EBRD is looking very closely at opportunities for job creations, skill transfers, on opportunities to help underrepresented groups to expand their economic activities. So we are tagging our operation for gender components, and that's very important, obviously, for Ukrainian refugees, most of whom are women and children, but also in other areas where, let's say, women are less represented in the economy, especially in southern and eastern Mediterranean or in Central Asian countries. And the third key theme is digital transition, so helping our clients to introduce innovative technology components to help them to combat the crisis through innovative means. And some of that was very useful during pandemic, where I said we couldn't travel, so there was a need to not only adjust our activities, how we reach out to clients, but also help those clients how they reach to their components. And what is also very important for us is that we combine all those components together. So it's not just that green, inclusive, and digital transactions are all different, but we are combining green and digital, or inclusive and green transactions in more complex structures, which is really the way to go.
That sounds amazing and very relevant at a time. What I wanted to say is that this, with embargo on the Russian gas and oil, the importance of other sources of energy has increased tremendously. Did you see an increase, or did you start to invest more in these projects after the embargo?
You mentioned the embargo, so maybe let me also say at this point that after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in early 2022, our shareholders voted to suspend access of Russia and Belarus to EBRD resources. So when you listed number of countries, obviously we are not active in Russia and Belarus, and we have divested from our portfolio there fairly quickly, right after war started. But the answer to your question about our investments in renewables, that has increased quite significantly over the last few years. And you mentioned that I was based in Cyprus, so it's something that is actually quite close to my heart, because during my time in Cyprus, we have provided financing for large-scale photovoltaic power plants, which increased the installed capacity by 14% overall, which was quite significant. And we have also financed the replacement of heavy fuel oil as a major source of thermal power plant fuel, which resulted in cuts in annual CO2 emissions by about 15,000 tons per year. So very significant measurable impact in just this one country. But I would say that's replicated across all the other countries.
Excellent. Speaking about specific countries, you have recently resumed your operations in the Czech Republic. So can you tell us more about the Czech operations, and have similar situation happened in other countries?
Yes. Czech Republic is, not only my own country, because I'm originally from the Czech Republic, but also it has the distinction of being the only member country of EBRD which has so-called graduated back in 2007, where it was deemed that the country has advanced in its reforms so far that our support is no longer needed as it was in the early years. But in 2021, as a result of the pandemic, we have received a request of government of the Czech Republic to resume our operations and help with the recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. And that was approved again by our shareholder on a temporary basis until the end of 2025. So yes, EBRD has returned back to the Czech Republic, which is the only country that graduated and the only country where we have come back.
So can you tell us more about the projects that you are investing in?
So obviously our investments were based on initial assessments of areas where EBRD is the most needed. And at the time I was already in the country strategy team in our headquarters. So I have worked on the assessment of the needs of the Czech Republic and led the work on the country strategy for this particular country. And we have decided that there are several areas where our activities should be focused, including support of the private sector with equity, be it directly or through private equity funds, to help strengthen capital of the companies that have suffered revenue losses as a result of the pandemic and help them to find new growth opportunities. And we are also looking at providing venture capital to support innovative, high-growth, local, small and medium-sized enterprises that have limited access to finance. So one area is to provide high-risk capital financing, which is not normally provided by commercial banks. And part of that is also to help development of the capital markets, of the stock market. And the second key area is support for green economy transition, because again, you are based in Prague, so it's probably not a surprise for you to know that the energy sector in the Czech Republic is nearly twice the EU average in terms of its intensity, and the country is one of the largest producers or emitters of greenhouse gases. So that's something what we are looking at, and that's both in terms of investments, but also in terms of helping regulatory environment for renewable energy and support for energy efficiency investments. So if you would like to hear some examples, one of them is support, that means financing, for green bonds issued by Photon Energy, renewable energy developer and independent power producer. And in terms of policy advice, we are working with Prague Stock Exchange to help develop ESG guidelines. And we are also working with the World Green Building Council and the Czech Green Building Council on a national whole life cycle decarbonization roadmap for buildings and infrastructure. So it's both investments and technical assistance in the green transition support for the Czech Republic.
This started after the pandemic, but before the war. Has the war affected your operations? Because the Czech Republic is not doing that great in terms of its macroeconomic situation.
I would probably say that pandemic and war in Ukraine are very different events, and yes, they had a very different impact on the economy and how it affected individual countries. Surprisingly, the response and the investments of EBRD actually is directed in the right areas, addressing these two very different events. So support for a green transition was important for us before the war on Ukraine, but it became actually even more topical given the need to replace gas imports from Russia and increase the share of renewables or increase energy efficiency of building and other users of energy in the Czech Republic. So I would say we have redoubled our efforts in this area. following the war on Ukraine, but it was already on our mind previously. And similarly, you mentioned that the economic situation is not very good, and that also means that many businesses, many probably more businesses, need support, need additional equity to help them during this tough economic time. So both focus areas, which are EBRD crisis response and help or assistance for the Czech private sector, are relevant as much as they were when we started working on that particular strategy.
This is amazing, because the second part of our topic is opportunities. And usually it's difficult to find opportunities in these challenging times. But to me, it seems that you are able to see opportunities in all the challenges, and that you are actually turning these challenges into amazing opportunities for your operations.
Again, when we talk about challenges and opportunities, I think I would probably go to the basis of EBRD's existence, the reason why our institution was set up, and it was to provide financially viable, that means commercially priced, financing primarily for the private sector in those areas where it is not available from private financial institutions. So in a sense, EBRD is really crisis response bank. In a boom period, when everything works well and there is a vibrant, deep or well-developed financial sector, there is not so much need for our financing. And that's one of the reasons why Czech Republic asked for graduation now more than 15 years ago in mid-2000s, when economy was doing really well, both locally and internationally. But when crisis came, anti-cyclical institutions such as EBRD is really needed and useful. So it's really not just in my DNA of working with crisis situation and looking at those challenges as opportunities, but also it's really DNA of the institution where I work. And that makes also very interesting, because almost every day there is a new challenge where we need to find a solution. So our work is really about finding solutions, not about describing problems. And maybe also let me just add to that question about challenges and opportunities, that I probably see it maybe less about finding what needs to be done, but more about keeping inside those long-term strategic priorities, which can easily be forgotten during crisis situation. And let's say transition to green, low-carbon economy, that's one thing that could easily be forgotten when there is a need to respond to war, as is the case now. Thinking about equality of opportunity, again, that's something that could be seen as something that is less important when jobs are scarce for everybody, and the need to help people to have well-paid jobs is felt across the board. And similarly, digital transition is something that actually requires a lot of effort. So it's easy to talk about, but it's not that easy to implement.
Great. So sticking to the mission when solving the crisis is the key thing for success. So we can conclude with that, unless there is something you would like to add.
No, I think that's it was very, very interesting talking to you. And I'm sure that we could talk for much longer, and I could probably give you much more examples of crisis response, be it from Moldova or Bosnia, even though those are already situations where I was there after many crises ago, if I can say it this way, back in 2008, 2012. But again, I think what is important to keep in mind is that the reason why I like working for EBRD is that its activity could be described in three simple words. It's experience, expertise, and integrity. So we know what we are doing because we have done it many times before and we are good in it. And we also do what we say that we will do. And maybe to conclude, there is maybe one thing which you might not know about the EBRD, but which is one reason why I'm very happy working here, because it's one of the few, if not the only multilateral financial institution which has a guiding principle of supporting countries committed to and applying principles of multi-party democracy and pluralism. And this support for democratic free countries is something for somebody like myself who grew up in communist Czechoslovakia is very important. So let's not forget that it's not just the economy, but it's also the way how we live, which is very important.
Thank you for these words. Thank you, Libor, for being with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.